Here in Romans 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, encouraging them and essentially thanking them for being an example of their faith. And so that's our focus this morning is faith. Notice verse 8 of Romans chapter 1. Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, and that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So your faith is our title this morning. Lord, we pray you'd use your word now to teach and grow us, to speak to each of our hearts, Lord, and just remind us how important it is that we put faith to action. And I pray, Lord, that we would go home and practice this and realize that we're here to serve you. And so have your will and way in each of our hearts. Lord, you know what the needs are. And we pray that Jesus would be magnified and his word as well. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So the main point of this message is that faith is action. So you've already heard me say a million times that love is action, but so is faith. Now, did you notice he says here in verse 8, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, how can that be unless faith is something that you can see? And the Bible teaches that it is something you can see. Let's go to Mark chapter 2 just to show you an example. Now, this is the story that we are all very familiar with, where there was a man who was crippled. And there was so many people crowded into the building where they were meeting that his four friends carried the bed up on the roof, tore out the tiles, and lowered him down by ropes so that he could be healed by Jesus. Most of you know the story. But what I wanted to point out here, Mark chapter 2, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Do you see that? He saw their faith. These men, his friends, had faith to believe that Jesus could heal their friend. But then they did something about it. They climbed up on the roof, they ripped the tiles away, and they lowered him down by ropes. Jesus saw this act, and he said, that was faith. And of course, Jesus healed the man. But he saw it. Now in Luke 17, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, increase our faith." What a question. And Jesus' response to that question was to tell them a parable about a servant who was obedient to his master and shouldn't have expected a pat on the back for being an obedient servant. That was his answer to their question or their request, increase our faith. In other words, obey, serve me. Faith is action. Faith is going forward and believing God. When we get to Hebrews 11... and God is recounting the heroes of the past, we call them, the great people of faith. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about faith, isn't it? We see words like offered and prepared and obeyed and forsook. Action verbs. God says, by faith, they did this. By faith, they did this. Faith is what we do. Faith is going forward. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. And so I want us to understand the first thing in this passage is that Paul is saying to the Romans, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world because we can see your faith. We can see you going forward by faith and obeying God and trusting God that he's going to use you and do great things. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Here he's commending the Thessalonians and he says the same thing, your work of faith. That you did things by faith. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. Paul says we walk by faith in 2 Corinthians 5:7, not by sight. It doesn't say we sit by faith, does it? We walk. We're going somewhere. We're moving forward by faith. So faith is action. And by the way, we're commanded to have this faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what God is saying is that he wants us to trust him and believe him and to go forward and serve him by faith. You know, when we set out to serve God, when we set out to put our gifts to use and to focus on pleasing our Lord, we're doing that by faith because we're believing that God will enable us, that God, through the Holy Spirit, will help us. And that is an act of faith. Because, you know what? Lack of faith is action or inaction as well. Think about the Israelites. They finally, after all the wandering through the desert, they get up to the promised land. And they send in the 12 spies, and 10 of the spies come back and they say, we can't do this. There's giants there. There's walled cities there. Joshua and Caleb said, but we can do this. Because God already promised us it's our land and let's go. And the 10 spies says, we can't. It's just too hard. There's giants and we just can't do it. And millions of people said, we can't do it. And so, in the end, they said, we're not able to do it. And God said, fine, go wander in the desert for 40 years. If you're not going to go forward by faith and trust me that I gave you this land and that you can have it, then don't go in. So that was action as well, wasn't it? It was inaction. They should have taken it by faith. And they eventually did 40 years later. Caleb said when he was 85 years old, I want that mountain. You promised it to me, Lord, and I don't care how old I am. By faith, I'm taking it. And he did. And so the first thing we see in this passage is faith is action. Faith is what we do. And God is calling on each one of us to believe that he's an all-powerful God, that he lives in us, that he's empowered us, he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he wants us to serve him by faith. Go forward by faith. Pray and move by faith. Now the second thing we see here in our passage, Romans 1 verse 9, Paul talks about prayer. He says, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Did you know that prayer is an act of faith? Think about it. The day we got saved, what did we do? We prayed and we asked Jesus to save us. That was an act of faith, wasn't it? That was saying that I believe that Jesus is real. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose again for me. I believe he offers me salvation. And by faith, I'm going to ask for it. That's faith. And every time we get down on our knees and we pray for someone, that's faith. That's saying, I believe that God is going to hear me and he's going to respond and touch that life in response to my prayers. That's having faith in God. Prayer is an act of faith. And Paul is saying that that's one thing that I can exercise in my own faith is I'm going to pray for you day and night without ceasing, he says. He says the same thing to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians, the Thessalonians. He says, I pray for you without ceasing. I pray for you day and night. And truthfully, there is no greater act of faith than prayer. Go to Matthew 15. I want to show you an example. This is a very interesting story. There was a Gentile woman. Now, this is earlier in Christ's ministry when he was focusing on the Jews. And there was a Gentile woman that asked something of Jesus. And he told her that I'm not going to cast my food to the dogs. And at the time, that's what the Jews considered the Gentiles was dogs. Now, most people would either get angry or frustrated and walk away, wouldn't they? But this woman wasn't going to give up. Matthew 15, verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy what? Faith. Great is thy faith. What was so great about it? That she wasn't going to quit. She said, Lord, I need this request. I need you to come heal my daughter, and please do it. And Jesus said, you're a Gentile. I'm focusing on the Jews right now. It's not fit to cast our food. And she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table. I'm not going to quit, Lord. You're Jesus. You're God. You're all powerful. And I need this. And Jesus said, great is thy faith. And so what we see is that faith is action, but prayer is faith in action. Prayer is saying, I believe that God is all powerful and that God answers prayer. And every time we pray, that's an act of faith. But more than that, let's go on back to our passage, Romans 1, verse 10. Paul says, making requests by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. Now these Roman Christians were growing, obviously, because he said that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. But Paul's desire was that they grow even more. And what we find as we study the scriptures is that faith establishes us in our faith. It grounds us. And as we trust God, we become more grounded, more mature in our trust in God for the future. And if you go to Colossians 1:23, I'll show you an example of this. But God, as we trust Him, as we move forward by faith and trust that He would protect us, that He would guide us, what happens is we become more grounded and our faith grows. And guess what? Then we exercise more faith. And then God protects us and blesses us and guides us. And then we exercise more faith. That's how faith works. And so we start off as a baby, and then we just keep growing and growing and growing. And God's will is that we keep growing in our faith. And we're never there, are we? So here in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. God wants us to continue in the faith and to be grounded, which is exactly what one of the byproducts of faith is. If you go to Jude verse 20, the book just before Revelation, we'll see this. Jude verse 20, that faith establishes or grounds us and grows us and matures us. Notice Jude 1:20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do we build up ourselves? By exercising faith. And the more that we exercise faith, the more we grow, the more we're grounded. You know, oftentimes we read biographies of great people of the past, and we say, oh, they just had so much faith. George Mueller, great example, had the orphanage. Never asked man for anything. All he did was just pray. God just poured in the blessings. They needed some shoes. Shoes just showed up. And people read that and say, oh, well, that was George Mueller. No, that's anybody. Same God, same Holy Spirit. It's all about just believing and having that childlike faith that God can and will do anything. But just believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so we see in this passage that faith is action. Praying is faith in action. Faith establishes us. But beyond that, verse 12, Paul says that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Did you know that when we have faith, it actually affects others? I mean, how many people have read an autobiography or a biography of someone in the past that had great faith? Raise your hand. If you've ever read a biography of someone that had faith, see? Most of us have. Their faith encouraged us, didn't it? And even people that are alive today, when we see people that have faith and they see great things happening because they just go forward by faith, it encourages us. That's why God put it in Hebrews 11, isn't it? He didn't write it there just to have a story. He wrote it there to encourage us. That, look, if you'll just trust me, look what I can do. And that's what faith does. It comforts and encourages us. As we read about great people of the past, they just trusted God and God did miracles. What does that do? It just reminds us that we serve a miracle-working God, that we just need to believe Him. Go to 2 Thessalonians again, this time in chapter 1. And notice verses 3 and 4, where again, Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for your brethren as meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. He says, you Thessalonians, because you're exercising faith in the midst of all these persecutions, you are being an encouragement to the other churches. Your faith actually is being a blessing to others. Which is really what he's saying to the Romans as well. But faith encourages. Faith comforts and helps our brothers and sisters. Go to Philemon, if you would, real quick. Right before Hebrews. And Paul talked about how his faith was an encouragement. Philemon, look at verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. In verse 5, he talks about your faith. In verse 6, the communication of thy faith. That word communication means action, means doing something. He's saying to Philemon, he's saying, all these people are refreshed by seeing you actually doing things by faith. And faith encourages others around us. Which is a great byproduct, isn't it? I mean, we don't exercise faith so that we can be a blessing to this other person. We do it because we're trusting God. But a byproduct is those around us get blessed. And that's what he's saying about the Romans. So firstly, faith is action. Never forget that. When we move forward and do what God asks us to do, that is an act of faith. After the Israelites wandered for the 40 years, they came up to the Jordan River, which was overflowing its banks. And God said, you need to cross that river and go take your cities. And the Bible says that the river was flooded and that the priests were carrying the ark. And it wasn't until they actually put their foot in the water that the river parted and they crossed into the promised land. First, they had to stick their foot in the water. That's an act of faith, isn't it? Because it would have been kind of scary. But they said, God told us to go, so let's go. And they stepped down in the river, and as soon as their foot went into the water, whoosh, then what did he tell them to do? I want you to march around Jordan 7 times. They could have said, well, that's silly. We're not going to do it. No, they said, we'll just obey God. And they marched around Jordan 7 times, blew the trumpets, the walls fell down. That was an act of faith. And it goes on and on. Faith is action. And when we pray, that's faith in action. And faith encourages and establishes us, but it also is a blessing to others. And then lastly, go to verse 13 of our passage, Romans 1. Now, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you. also even as among other Gentiles. Did you know that when we exercise faith and trust God and move forward, walk by faith, one of the byproducts is that we're a fruitful Christian, which is one of God's ultimate goals for each of us. Look at Colossians 1, verse 10, if you would. God wants us all to be fruit-bearing Christians, doesn't He? Jesus said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you," in John 15, "and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Notice Colossians 1:10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So one byproduct of exercising faith is those around us get blessed. And another one is when we exercise faith, we end up bearing fruit, which is one of God's desires for us as Christians, that we be fruit-bearing Christians. So this word faith, it's a big word for Christians, isn't it? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we're told in Hebrews 11:1. Then we're told in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He's writing that to Christians. You can't please God without faith. And as Paul says to these Romans, your faith is spoken of. Your faith can be seen. People can see you doing things by faith and trusting God. And faith is what we do. When we pray, we're exercising faith. That's putting feet to our faith. And when we pray and when we trust God and when we move forward by faith, it establishes us. It's a blessing to those around us. And it makes us more of a fruitful Christian. Isn't it amazing what faith in God can do? And when you think of the Old Testament miracles and all the things that happened, it was all by faith. It was all just believing God, trusting God. And I can picture Elijah standing there with those 400 prophets of Baal. And he told them to dig those wells and or to ditches around the altar and kept filling them with water and filling until the thing was soaked to the offering. And these guys had already spent the day cutting themselves and praying to Baal, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, we're not just going to watch God burn up this offering. Let's soak it first. Let's soak it so much that the water's actually in ditches around the altar, because this is God we're talking about. He said, let's just keep pouring on the water, keep pouring it on. And then he just prayed and said, Lord, I believe you. And what happened? The fire came down and burned up the altar and licked up all the water. But Elijah didn't do that. God did that. When we think about all these miracles and we say, oh, Elijah did this miracle. Did he? Or did God do it? Really, man doesn't do miracles, does he? God works miracles. Even the disciples, they healed. Or did they? Or did God heal? Think about it. They just exercise faith. It's God that works the miracles. But if we won't go forward and trust Him, we won't get to enjoy those miracles and watch God work. So your faith, he says to the Romans, your faith is a blessing to others because people can see it. And it's a blessing to you because you're growing in your faith and because you're getting more established and because you're becoming more fruit-bearing in your Christian walk. Your faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for reminding us this morning how